furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening around the world on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, on this beautiful weekend, as usual, I am here, right here, in Culver City, California, to be the managing partner of your life, because we all need someone to manage our life. Isn't that true, Carrie Kasem?
I think we definitely need help in certain areas. That's for sure. I do.
I know I do. And I rely on a number of people, including my wonderful wife, to help out and take care of me. And that's what's so special about the shows that we've been doing. This is third in a series of powerful women, and it doesn't matter what you do, whether you are a powerful attorney or if you are a spokesperson, you are a person who takes care of children at home, whatever you do, I think if you show the passion of the women that we have spoken to, and 2 weeks ago, we spoke with Lisa Bloom, who has been all over the news with a number of different cases, and she talked about what she does. Last week, it was Laura Wasser, and this week, we're privileged to have Patty Glaser. And Patty Glaser is the litigation chairperson at Glaser, Weil, Fink, Howard, Avchin, and Shapiro. Usually they just go by Glaser and Weil. It's easier. And she is one of the most well-known complex business litigators in this country. She does high-stakes litigation, and she has won so many accolades and awards, not only for her legal work, but also for her philanthropy, which is really important when you give back to the community. Los Angeles Daily Journal awarded Patty Glaser one of the top women lawyer list. It's her 12th year. Los Angeles Business Journal, one of the most influential women lawyers in Los Angeles. Hollywood Reporter, of course, the Power Lawyer 2017 list of 100 most influential entertainment attorneys. And she was included in Variety's 2017 Legal Impact Report. She has represented a number of different well-known people and not so well-known people, as well as corporations, companies in complex litigation. Wow, that is a mouthful. Patty Glaser, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you, Carrie and Alan. It's a pleasure.
It's great to have you. With all of these things that you have accomplished, you were growing up in Charleston, West Virginia. Did you ever dream you would be in L.A. under the big lights dealing with all of these high-profile cases in law?
You know, the fact that they're high profile is really icing on the cake, because you have to love what you do. And I am beyond blessed in so many ways because I get paid to do something I love. And I don't think that's true of a lot, especially lawyers. So I'm very, very, no, I didn't expect it. And I've been blessed with having the right mentors. Men and women, and I have been blessed with being in the right place at the right time on frequent occasion. I couldn't be politically further away from Lisa Bloom, who I have great respect for, and Laura and I have handled cases together, so I'm familiar with the other two ladies that you have interviewed, and
right.
I think the key is we all love what we do.
But I'll tell you something. I bet the other two never dreamt of playing center fielder for the New York Yankees. And that's something that you did. How do you make that transition from playing for the New York Yankees, which I guess your family really supported, to being this superstar lawyer?
So I have to tell you that when I was in the fifth grade and I had this epiphany, as I'm watching the Yankees play with my dad on television, and I suddenly realized, because I was a tomboy, I suddenly realized, oh my goodness, there aren't any women, girls out there on the field. And my dad, without missing a beat, because parents are everything when it comes to these kind of prejudices, my dad, without missing a beat, looks at me and says, don't worry, by the time you're old enough, there'll be plenty of women playing.
Oh,
and
wow.
it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. It matters that was the attitude that I grew up with. So there was never a distinction, a gender distinction between my three sisters, my two sisters and myself, and my brother, who happens to also be a lawyer in North Carolina. So it was, just do the best you can. And I think that is, there's so many battles about being a good lawyer that one has to engage in. I mean, really, really, it's hard to be a good lawyer. And the one thing you don't want to do is have to put up with the nonsense of gender discrimination.
You know, this
so not only did I not suffer in law school, but when I came out here, I was fortunate enough to get a clerkship with a federal judge in Los Angeles. Let me go back one step. Between my second and third year, when everybody else was clerking in offices and et cetera, I wanted to lead a group of kids to spoiled, rich American kids to Denmark. So we all live with families, and it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. But before I left, I applied for federal clerkships all over the country and was fortunate to get some offers, one of which was out here. And I'd been out of the country a bunch of times, but I'd never been west of the Mississippi.
But what you have to fill in for the listeners is the clerkship was with Judge David Williams. What was so important about you working with Judge David Williams? Because he was groundbreaking, wasn't he?
He was groundbreaking. He was an African-American judge, and he was one of the first, if not the first. He was so kind to me and so generous and gave me so many opportunities, recommended the firm that I eventually went with when I finished my clerkship. It was just one of those wonderful experiences, and I just have to say one more thing about him. He was a guy who... I asked him, he let me write opinions, he let me give memos on everything except sentencing. And he said to me, in a very wise way, one day, I asked him, because we had a great relationship, why don't you let me participate in at least recommending what you should do when it comes to sentencing? And he looked at me, again, not missing a beat, and he says, Patty, it's a huge responsibility. And I never want to blame somebody if I make a mistake.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. But I'll tell you one thing, that you did help him out on one decision where you had the guts to go to him and say, I think you're wrong. Didn't he change that decision?
You know more about me than I thought. 100%. I took a deep breath. It was actually Stanley Fleischman. It was an old-time L.A. lawyer, wonderful guy, constitutional lawyer. He'd argued it was a TRO. I heard the argument, listened to everything, read the cases, and the judge made a decision from the bench. It was adverse to what I thought was correct. And I went back in, took a deep breath, and walked into his chambers and said, you know, you can throw me out of here, but I really think you made a mistake. Let me tell you why. He listened to me. It was a little huffy. Listened to me. I quickly go back into my little clerk's office. I get the phone buzzes, and he says, come back in here. I come, go back in. He said, call the lawyers back. I made a mistake.
Wow.
Classy is that.
Wow.
That is just...
kind of character that man has.
Right.
Let me ask you this, and I ask this to most of the lawyers that are here. Has there ever been a case, and you don't have to say what, and you don't even have to answer the question, but has there ever been a case that you tried, and you just... felt that it was wrong, that you found out about the person you were defending, and you went, wow, I made a mistake defending this person?
First of all, it probably happens occasionally in the criminal context, but I'm not a criminal lawyer.
Right. But
and two, most business cases are not black and white, but gray, somewhere in the middle. And three, the answer is no.
So there's never been anything you've gone up and you've litigated and you said, oh, I shouldn't be doing this.
No.
Oh.
Well, you know.
And by the way, just so you're, to be fair to you, Carrie, most cases, civil cases, are settled.
Yes.
So that push and pull that you go through with trying to, you know, get to where can I win this or lose this is done well in advance of the trial. I'm fortunate that I get to try a lot of business cases.
And I just want to give
real quick, because she mentioned the TRO, and that's the temporary restraining order, if I'm not mistaken. Because that's why I asked you about that, about have you ever, I didn't know what the outcome was, if they granted the restraining order or not. For me, I thought it would be settled. I had a case last year that I had to go through, and I thought, okay, we can mediate it, we can fix this, and it didn't. It went to 6 days of trial. And I did get a restraining order. I was granted a restraining order against the person who was making death threats on me. So I was wondering if there was anything like that where you went, oh, I'm going to tell this judge they need that restraining order because this could happen to this person. And you felt that would not, in your conscience, if you didn't say that, somebody could get hurt.
Absolutely. I've never had that occasion. And I can say I've been practicing for more than 40 years.
Yeah.
Well, you never know what's going to happen. But let's tell the listeners a few of the cases that she's been involved in. Again, this is complex business litigation. She's been involved with Conan O'Brien and his company in copyright infringement suit. And I'm not going to get into the details. Bond investor William Gross versus his former company, PIMCO. The one of the big cases that you became well known for, the MGM Grand case, retroactive insurance litigation, and I believe there was a $75 million recovery on that. Reicher Entertainment, I remember Reicher, I used to work at NBC. There was a suit against its former parent company over a $19 million payout to actor Don Johnson. The Himmelstein Mandel Fund Management suit against for breach of fiduciary duty for a failed joint venture. Ruben Klamer, author and creator of The Game of Life, against allegations of not being the true inventor of the game. Music manager Mike G against Chris Brown. So those are a list. And again, I don't want to be remiss and not talk about Jamie Horowitz, which is an ongoing case, head of sports programming, who was let go by Fox for sexual harassment claims. Now, you came out in the public and talked about that. You said that Fox treated him inappropriately, and Dan Petrocelli, who was representing Fox, countered that. Do you believe nowadays you really need to, on certain cases like those, get into the public, into social media, and really say something? Because we've talked to a lot of attorneys on this show, and they say it's a different game than it was 30 years ago.
I am firmly of the school that you cannot afford in today's world the two things you have to do with reporters, you have to comment, and two, you can never lie. Your word is, it's true generally of life, because it always comes back and bites people when they do it. But you can never lie to a journalist, and you also need to have a comment. The litigation that we're handling is so public and everything is so viral that you need to be able to say, I've looked at this, and obviously it would have to be true, but I've looked at this, and there isn't a basis for what somebody's alleging. There's not a basis for them claiming X, Y, or Z. And you have to be able to come out and publicly say that. Your clients are entitled to that. They're entitled to really be defended, and simply defending them in court is not frequently enough.
And it's more important now, more than ever, in the Jamie Horowitz case. Of course, he was a top executive involved with the sports department, Fox, in fact, running the sports department. There were sexual harassment allegations by Fox, and then he was let go. Patty Glaser said that the way Jamie has been treated by Fox is appalling. At no point in his tenure was there any mention by his superiors or human resources of any misconduct, nor an inability to adhere to professional conduct. Jamie was hired from Fox to do the job, and the job that, until today, he had performed in an exemplary fashion. So what goes into a statement like that? You know, we don't want to talk specifically about how that case is going or whether there is a case or not, but how do you approach it?
Well, I typically, we're not going to talk about Jamie's case. That would not be appropriate. Having said that, what I typically do, and there's three or four, in my own limited experience, PR people that I work with and always use on certainly any high-profile case, and they I'm arm-in-arm and in lockstep with them on what we should be saying and how we should be saying it and to whom we should be saying it. And those PR people are invaluable. They're experienced. They get the joke. They aren't just PR people. They are people who deal with
right.
What happens when there's litigation.
And it's really important that you take that very seriously. We have to take a quick break. We're talking to Patty Glaser, who is the litigation chair at Glaser Wiles. She is a business trial attorney among the top 100 most influential entertainment attorneys, according to Hollywood Reporter Power Lawyers. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We will be right back.
Someone you know been injured on the job. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Hey, it's Leanne Tweeden. It's official. Summer is here. It's time for vacations and trips to the beach. So with all this summer fun on your calendar, don't let that broken water heater or backed up drain ruin your plans. Do what I do. Call the experts at SoCal Plumbers 911. They're the referral service for the very best plumbers in L.A. You can reach them at SoCalPlumbers911.com or 877-PLUMBER. That's SoCalPlumbers911.com or 877-PLUMBER and keep your summer fun flowing.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 3939 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 3939.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yes, we're back. I'm Alan Gervey. I'm here with Carrie Kasem, and we are talking to Patty Glaser, who's the litigation chair at Glaser Weil. She is one of the top litigators in complex business litigation in the country. She's been said to have a tough litigation style, and I'm quoting that, and she has actually said that sometimes she wakes up with a knot in the stomach knowing that they will deal, people wanting to know that the people will deal with her.
You, Alan?
Patty?
You have that slightly backwards.
I know. I wanted to know if you were listening or not, because you're not going to have a knot in your stomach. You want them to have a knot in your style in your in their stomach.
I don't think that being a successful trial lawyer means that you have everybody's your friend. And I don't care, genuinely, it's maybe a flaw in my character, but I don't really care if Alan and Carrie like me. I want them to know that I'll tell them the truth, that they respect me, and that they're in for a fight if they're coming after one of my clients. So I have continued to have all the fire in my belly, but also I like to fight. Again, doesn't necessarily make me the nicest human being in the world, but if you don't like to fight, because I know people that do wake up with knots in their stomach, I'm not one of them. If you don't like to fight, this is the wrong business to be in. Do something else.
I think that's actually something you have to have as a lawyer, because if you're worried about people liking you and you're in big trouble. I like the fight too, but I'm not as strong as you. And when people come after me, and I've learned to kind of have a shell around me, but when people come after me, they say something about me personally or my family. It hurts. I don't like it, but I've learned to kind of not back down anymore, but kind of confront it. Asking you, what is the most satisfying case that you've ever had? What is something that you walked out of there and were just completely satisfied, something you'll take to your grave and go, yes?
You know, Carrie, it's a fair question, but I have to tell you, there is nothing more dramatic. TV, movies cannot capture when a jury comes back. And on every case I've ever handled, and I've handled plenty of jury trials, every case I've ever handled, that drama, I've seen grown men cry because that drama is so huge, so significant. And you hold your breath and you wait for the jury to come in your way, hopefully. And it is, those are moments that you can't duplicate. They're wonderful. I love my husband. I love my two grandsons. And I love juries coming back in our favor.
I was going to say, it's equal to seeing your two grandsons smiling at you and jumping on you when you come to see them. So I think, you know, you have that balance. I think that's really important for a trial attorney. One of the interesting things about you is you have routines. You've been through so many trials and you have these routines. And it reminds me of, you know, using a baseball analogy, because we know you're a big baseball fan. Wade Boggs used to approach the plate and draw a high in the dirt before he went to bat. He also ate chicken all the time before every game. What are your little routines that you use in trials?
So now you're embarrassing me, but I will answer the question.
You don't get embarrassed, you know. Patty.
And she's honest, so she's going to.
I drive the same route every day to the court, number one. Number two, whatever I have for lunch the first day, I have every day of the trial after that. Uh-huh. It could be a hard-boiled egg, or it could be a bowl of jelly, or it could be something much worse.
Now, if something isn't going right, do you change it up at all? Do you start to change it up?
Absolutely not. Okay. No, you never take that risk.
Okay.
I actually remember driving down to court, and I took one of my colleagues with me, and she insisted on stopping for coffee, and I told her, we can't do that. I don't stop for coffee on the way down. Cannot do that. So, yeah, I do the same. And you wear your lucky earrings.
Yep.
I mean, all that kind of stuff. I do it. And it's I'm an adult, right? So I have no explanation other than I'm superstitious.
But you know what? You like sports. And people that like sports are superstitious, whether it's wearing the hat a certain way, your rally cap, or, you know, chanting certain things, or wearing your favorite shirt. I mean, do you think that's where that came from?
I have no idea.
You know, I'll tell you.
I know you're supposed to be asking me the questions. I wanted just to respond to something, Alan, that you said about participating in the community. Younger people, lawyers, typically say, well, how do you get clients? What organization should I belong to? And I always tell them, and I mean this, that you should join organizations not to get clients, but to fulfill a passion of yours. And if you fulfill a passion of yours, just like you bring that passion to the law, you'll bring that passion to that group, and the business will come. Mm-hmm. If there is business to be had. But don't do it to get business. Do it because it's important to you. So the theater is really important to me. I think it makes a huge contribution, not just because somebody's written a good play or acted in a good play or directed a good play. It's because plays, I'm talking about legitimate theater, plays are the best form of entertainment in the world. And when you connect with something that the author has written and the actor has spoken, and it hits you in the face as you're sitting there in the theater, there's nothing like it when it works. It doesn't always work, but when it works, it is magical.
And, you know, it's interesting because it's similar to practicing law, but at the same time, it's doing good. Now, you've been on the board of directors for a number of arts organizations, including Los Angeles Music Center Theater Group, the Geffen Theater. You've produced plays, and you've been a huge supporter for the Friends of Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Now, that's an organization that's near and dear to my heart. My grandparents and my father's endowment funds are through the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. I've been there a number of times. How did you get involved in the Friends of Hebrew University in Jerusalem? And you've actually got an honorary doctorate from the school.
I have, and I love the fact that that's happened. Hebrew University was introduced to me when a mentor of mine, Harvey Silbert, was one of the huge supporters of Hebrew University. His name and his wife's name, Lillian. They've since passed away, but they're all over that school. And Harvey does the following for me. He arranges my first trip to Israel, and I'm supposed to be meeting with the Prime Minister of Israel. And when I'm expecting to be in an auditorium with 500 people, he says something like planting trees, and then, you know, you get out and shuffle out with everybody. We're escorted into the Prime Minister's office, and he has just come back from a meeting with Mubarak and Arafat. And he comes in a few minutes late, and I'm this, you know, this hick from Charleston, West Virginia, and he apologizes, and he spends the next 45 minutes talking to me about real serious stuff. This isn't a cocktail party discussion. We're having serious exchanges. And I finally look at my watch. I'm embarrassed, you know. And I say, look, you've been wonderful. You spent all this time with me. I'm hugely complimented. And he jumps up from his chair, walks past his Nobel Peace Prize, and picks up a letter that's sitting on the desk. And he reads the letter, which says, "Dear whomever, it is important to me that you meet with my friend, Patty Glaser." He said, "I'm not meeting with you because you're Patty Glaser. I'm meeting with you because Harvey Silbert told me I had to meet with you." And you know what? Harvey never asked me for a penny.
Wow.
For fundraising purposes, never asked me for a penny. I wanted to write a check when I came home. And frankly, Hebrew University in Alan, you know this, Carrie, you may not. Hebrew University is the jewel of Israel and essentially the gift of Israel to the world. It is an incredible institution, research, brain, everything from brain research to, archaeology. It's an amazing place. And I cannot tell you how proud I am to be associated with it. Yeah. I've met some wonderful people as a result. And friends, people I consider friends. The former president of the Supreme Court of Israel is a rock star in my world, and he is my friend. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. It's wonderful.
And I know we have a few minutes left with you, but I want to go back to, because my passion, what I went to school for, was theater. Musical theater and dance and all that. And I just, what is and who is your favorite playwright? And what are you doing now? Is there anything out there that you're producing or that you have had your hand in that I could go see?
Well, I didn't buy enough, but we had a small interest in Beautiful. I don't know if you saw Beautiful.
No.
Interesting when you mentioned Beautiful, we had two people on the show from Beautiful.
I was not here.
I was not here.
No.
We had Barry Mann,
And his wife.
Cynthia. We had them on the show. They were a delight. We also had their daughter, Jen Mann, who is a psychotherapist. And we talked all about Beautiful. I'm seeing it again on Friday night in Toronto. I'm flying to Toronto to take my mother to see it. And it's a wonderful production. So if you had anything to do with the production that was here in L.A., we were so privileged and thrilled. And at the same time, having them here and talking about the history of the music was really something. I'm sorry I interrupted. I just got so,
awesome.
Let me just tell you, I went to law school with Carole King singing the Tapestry album.
Yeah.
And it is, to me, it's like it was heaven on earth. And we saw it in previews up in San Francisco before it went to Broadway. And a couple of us decided to invest. Again, not enough. Because usually it's throwing money down a rabbit hole when you invest in Broadway. And we've invested in the New York show. We've invested in the road show, including California. We invested in the West End of London and I think Australia. And we've made our money back tenfold.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Very unusual.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
One of my favorites, but not the only one, is a play called, and it was actually the first one we produced, A Woman in Mind, which is a play by Alan Ayckbourn.
Mm-hmm.
He's an English playwright, and it's a wonderful play. Some people can differ. We just saw a wonderful play in London. We went over to look at the women's finals in Wimbledon, and we saw A Girl from the North Country, which is the first time that Bob Dylan has allowed his music to be used in a play, and it's going on in London now. It's not a musical. His music is inserted in sort of key places, and it's terrific. I mean, just terrific. So when my dad and mother were both involved in local theater in Charleston, West Virginia. So I was in A Cornus Green when I was, I don't know, 10 years old as a kid. So it's something that I've always loved. And I think it gives back to you in spades, whether you're working the lights, which I've done, or performing, which I haven't done other than as a kid. And being a good traveler is a little bit like being a stage actor. So it's all, I have to tell you one quote. When I was, one of my clients is a relatively well-known architect, Frank Gehry. And
he's huge. Probably one of the biggest.
Frank Gehry comes off the supreme compliment. He comes off the witness stand after I examined him, and the jury loved him, of course, because he's charming and truthful. And he looks at me and he pulls me aside and he gives me a big hug in front of everybody. He says, "Patty, you are a true artist."
Aww.
Now, whether that's true or not, it was the ultimate compliment.
Absolutely.
Ultimate compliment.
Absolutely.
My life was over as far as I was concerned. Everything would be fine.
So there you go. You have it. The most satisfying part of your career. You answered my question. That's awesome. I'm heading to New York next month, and we're doing a whole Broadway thing. So we're going to pick plays and musicals and everything. So I'm so excited. I do that once or twice.
We're going to go in August and see Bette Midler.
Oh, yes.
Which I'm really looking for. I love the show.
Yes.
I love her.
I do too.
And you know, it's another point that I think you're saying implicitly is you share it with your family, with Sam, your husband, something that you guys can be passionate together, because he isn't a lawyer. Of course, he was a former football player way back when.
And an engineer.
And an engineer. And
people I know. In every case I have, I bounce my opening statement off of him, and I get better advice from him than most of the people in the universe. But I have to say one other thing. In addition to my two grandsons who own me, it is, I am, you can't practice law as successfully as an island. And I have a wonderful, wonderful law firm with wonderful lawyers that make me look good. And hopefully I can help them make them look a little good too. And it is, I'm blessed in that regard as well.
Patty, we only have a minute or two left. You mentioned the word advice. Why don't we leave the listeners with this? What advice would you give lawyers who are listening, women specifically, perhaps, as they move forward in their careers? Obviously, not everyone can attain the success that you have as a litigator, but everyone can attain success in their own life. What advice do you have for them?
You know, I think one, loyalty is incredibly important. I hope they write that in my epitaph, because I think that loyalty is everything, probably to a fault.
Yeah.
Two, I think you have to work very hard. I'm not the smartest person in the room, but I work very hard because I love it. And I think you need to be good at anything that you do. And as a woman, don't go to a place that has the high hurdles of having to break through gender barriers. There are plenty of places, including law firms, where that barrier has already been broken down. I was blessed with that. Mariana Felser was a senior partner at Wyman, Boucher, et cetera, the only other firm I've been with. And by the time I got there, the whole generation of men between us were scared to death of her. Well, so by the time I come along, there's no big deal about a woman lawyer. That's a blessing. You should look for those opportunities so you don't have to deal with the nonsense of gender discrimination.
That is excellent advice. Patty Glaser, I want to thank you for coming on Gervie's Law today. Really interesting stories and interesting things.
I think we should have her on and just talk Broadway and plays next time. That's it.
This is a legal show. Patty, thanks. Thanks very much for being with us.
And Alan, thank you. It was my pleasure.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, we will talk some symphony and big bands after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Why have over 3 million guys switched to Harry's razors? Because at Harry's, we give you less. We make just one razor with 5 German-engineered blades.
Ding!
All you need for a smooth and comfortable shave.
Ah.
And we got rid of upcharges. By owning the factory and cutting out the middleman, we're able to sell our high-quality blades for half the price of the other guys.
Ka-ching!
Now we're dropping the half-price sound effects guy.
Wait, why?
Not everyone can give you high quality for a fraction of the price. Harry's. One perfect razor. None of the extra noise. As a special offer for radio listeners, get an $18 shave set with an added bonus for free when you visit harrys.com and use code 2525 at checkout. Just cover a few bucks for shipping. That's harrys.com, code 2525 for a free shave set offer. Again, it's harrys.com, code 2525. Please note, no sound effects guys were harmed in the making of this radio recording.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervie's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervie.
Yes, we're back. I'm Alan Gervie, and here with Carrie Kasem. This is Gervie's Law. Carrie, that was pretty cool with Patty Glaser.
Yeah.
What a great personality. That's why she's such an amazing trial lawyer.
Hardcore lawyer, but has this awesome side to her that's very, very artistic, very giving. I really liked her.
Artistic. Wow.
Super. Yeah.
What a key word, because we want to continue on this theme of the arts. And this is really a great story because Gary Green is a longtime attorney. And he's also the founder and conductor of the L.A. Lawyers Philharmonic and the chorus Legal Voices, as well as the Gary Green Esquire and his big band of barristers. Recently, Gary Green and his lawyer musicians were in Washington, D.C. for a special performance at the Library of Congress. And we had actually Brad Sherman. And Congressman Sherman provided a congressional record. And Congressman Sherman's been on our show, of course. And he said some wonderful things about Gary Green and his band of barristers and their performance. And as well, they performed at the Man of the Year event for the International Association of Top Professionals honoring Tom Girardi.
Yes.
Another guy who's been on. And now it's a pleasure to welcome to Gervie's Law, Gary Green.
Greetings, Carrie and Alan.
Hi.
Pleasure to be here.
It is great to have you. Tell us about how this started. There you are, a lawyer. You have an amazing musical background. And you founded these wonderful orchestras and choirs with lawyers. And it's just such a great outlet for a very stressful job that us lawyers do.
Exactly right. Well, my background is music. I was brought up in a musical family. My late uncle, Dr. Ernst Katz, was the founder of the Junior Philharmonic Orchestra back in 1937. And it went, he conducted it for 72 years. And I participated. As a lawyer, I participated both as a violinist and a conductor. And I realized how important it was to have something outside of the daily practice of law so I could be totally refreshed. And that's where I got into music. And then it dawned on me after a while that there must be other attorneys who are also musicians. And this goes back to an opportunity I had back in 2009. When we put out an announcement through the legal papers, through the bar associations, if we could get some advanced musicians, we'd like to put together an orchestra. And I received, in short order, more than 100 responses. And literally, we put together a very fine orchestra, beginning with 30 members, and expanded it over the years to where it is now. We've performed over that time more than 50 concerts. We have 75 members in the orchestra today. And what's amazing is many of these lawyers are really real musicians. A number of them went to music conservatories, anywhere from Juilliard, New England Conservatory, Cleveland Institute, San Francisco Conservatory, Thornton School of Music here at USC, and a number of others. So I guess you might say we're really musicians who happen to be lawyers.
Music's cathartic, too. I mean, lawyers seem like you're stressed out all the time. Most of them that
well,
I know.
Hopefully we're not stressed out all the time, but we are stressed out at a certain amount of time. And I will say this, we have weekly rehearsals. And at that moment in time, believe me, the next day we are refreshed. We can go back and we can do all our advocacy. The other thing is, besides everything else, we are harmonizing. We are bringing together prosecutors and defense attorneys, attorneys from large law firms, small law firms, people that may be advocates at one time or another, and judges.
I was going to say that.
From the appellate court.
Are judges allowed to be in there? I mean, I don't know that, you know, part of the law real well, but are judges allowed to kind of hang out with you guys?
Well, let's not forget, judges are people. And they have, and that, you know, the beauty of what we do is we point out that we are people with passion. Judges, attorneys, we have law students, and we have some legal staff. But we're all legal. The orchestra of 75, the chorus of 100 at full complement. And in addition to that, I formed a big band along the lines of the Glenn Miller Band and the big bands of the 1930s and 40s. And the big band, also composed of lawyers and just judges, our piano player is the Honorable Arthur Gilbert, presiding Justice, California Court of Appeal.
Wow.
How do you have time to practice law? It sounds like you're a full-time professional musician and conductor.
Well, there are a couple secret weapons that I have to make it work. One happens to be I need a little less sleep than others.
Yeah.
If I'm working late into the night, I'm either usually the music goes late into the night and the law, of course, goes well in during the day. And the other is, happens to be my daughter, who is our executive director of all the organizations, and she does the coordination of all the musicians and scheduling and everything that we do. And we play a lot of concerts as well.
Do you know, I mean, does your daughter understand? It says, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you've worked with Mickey Rooney. And,
yes.
I mean, that's one of the biggest movie stars of all time. And I'm friends with his daughters, and he's just such an incredible talent. And to be able to say I've worked with Mickey Rooney, to me, is the ultimate.
I agree, and I've been very fortunate over the years, over many years, with both this orchestra and through the Junior Philharmonic. I've had the opportunity to work with maybe several hundred celebrities along the way. Our most recent concert with the Los Angeles Lawyers Philharmonic and Legal Voices, highlighted Dick Van Dyke, mm-hmm. who sang with us. And this was a real, real thrill. And I've done other things with him in the past, but this time he sang just a variety of songs and danced, and he's just a wonderful, heartwarming individual who just gave everything for our performance, and the audience loved him.
And he's 90, if I'm not mistaken. Or
well,
is
a little more than that.
A little more than 90,
91,
right?
91, almost 92.
Yeah, that guy's
incredible.
Just amazing. Yeah, he keeps going.
How was your trip to Washington to the Library of Congress?
Well, that was fabulous. That was with the big band. We've done a lot of things with the different groups. This came out of a recent recording we did with the Lawyers Philharmonic, and one of the sponsors of our orchestra is Thomas Girardi of Girardi and Keys.
Right.
And he, along with some other law firms, but he invited the band to perform for a special event not just in the Library of Congress, but in the Great Hall of the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. And it was a real thrill for all of us.
You know, there are so many people who listen to the show who are lawyers or work at law firms. How do people get involved? I know you have a great Facebook page that there's all kinds of photos of your concerts and things that you've done. But how do people, you have the LALawyersPhil.org website.
That's correct. The best way to reach us is probably through that www.LALawyers, plural, LAWYERS, Phil, as in Philharmonic, PHIL.org. That's a great way to reach us. Also through the telephone, 323-525-1800. Again, 323-525-1800. And we're always welcoming more musicians because, as you can imagine, lawyers may have conflicts such as trials and depositions and preparation for various things, or they're out of town on things. So we actually have backup musicians, and we're always welcoming more musicians for the orchestra, singers for the chorus, as well as musicians for the jazz band. We're out there all the time.
Gary, do you have them audition for you? Because, you know, just like there's a lot of great lawyers, there's a lot of lousy lawyers, too, and I'm sure it's the same with musicians.
Well, we knew right away when we started, the first announcement we went out with was this. We said, how are we going to put an orchestra together? And we were already, before we even started the orchestra, we had our first performance. So I said, how are we possibly going to do this? So when the notice went out, it asked for advanced musicians. And we are advanced. As I mentioned, many of us came from the different conservatories, but also we play the same repertoire that the Los Angeles Philharmonic and other professional orchestras play, from Mozart to Beethoven to Tchaikovsky. We just did the Tchaikovsky Fourth Symphony. Choral works such as we opened up with the Beethoven Ninth Symphony, the finale, Ode to Joy. We've done Carmina Burana, the Beethoven Choral Fantasy, and just Chichester Psalms by Bernstein, and just many others. And we do lots and lots of popular music, such as Broadway musicals.
I was about to ask you that, if you do any kind of scores, movie scores or Broadway musicals or anything like that.
Right. A couple of years ago, we had a program dedicated to movie scores.
Yes.
And from Gone with the Wind all the way up, we've done so many. With Broadway musicals, well, we just did selections from Phantom of the Opera, mm-hmm. Les Mis, from Mary Poppins, and just a host of them. Last year, in addition to the music we play, we usually invite a special guest. This year, we had Dick Van Dyke, but last year, we invited Richard Sherman. One of the Sherman brothers who composed so much of the music, such as Mary Poppins, Chitty
yes.
Chitty Bang Bang, Small World, and Richard Sherman's been a great friend of mine for many years, and I asked him to conduct our orchestra and chorus, It's a Small World, and we did a number of his other selections as well.
Yeah, he's a pretty good defensive back as well. That's a different Richard Sherman.
But not related.
Definitely not related. When's your next? I know you're going to be at the L.A. Law Library in October. Is that somewhere where people can come out and see you?
Yeah, well, that's the band. The big band plays usually once or twice a year for the Law Library. This is going to be for what's called Pro Bono Week, where attorneys, you know, give back to the community. So we're playing that event in October. But if anyone is interested in following us, if they go to our website, again, www.lawyers.org, they can join our email list and we'll announce all the things we're doing. Just, you know, give you an idea this past season what we did. So looking forward to next season, we opened up doing Gilbert and Sullivan's Trial by Jury. We played that at the Wallace Theater. Full house. Fabulous.
That's a great title for...
For us, it was a natural.
It was
Gilbert
a natural.
Gilbert Sullivan wrote this back in the 19th century, and it was just perfect the way it came across. Our members of our chorus, our lawyers and judges, were the singers, and we put the whole play together in costume. Then, immediately following that, we recorded the soundtrack for a radio program, which was originally broadcast in 1941. It was a Norman Corwin radio play called We Hold These Truths. And at that time, it was to commemorate the 150th anniversary of the Bill of Rights. And to give you an idea how significant it was then, it was broadcast on December 15, 1941, 8 days after Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
We were invited to do the soundtrack for the rebroadcast, which was 75 years later. And we did that, and it was broadcast, and from that, we were nominated and won a gold medal at an international radio competition.
It's amazing. We are very proud. As a lawyer, I'm really proud to be a lawyer. Hearing Gary Green talk, we're at the end of the show. We really appreciate you coming on, Gary, and giving us some information that a lot of people will want to check out. We got Chitty Chitty Bang Bang going.
I'm
going
to check it out. I love the show. It's a music show today.
Gary, thanks for being on Gervie's Law.
Thank you, Carrie and Ellen.
Thank you.
Take care. And that's going to do it. What a great show.
I know. Music.
Thanks
my
for listening. We'll see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.